This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now, check-out time is never.
It's Mike Shope.
Does my room have cable?
No, and the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
And the Bulldog.
Can I have a late checkout?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
Okay. Just so I understand it, in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell. And you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
And the Bulldog.
You know what? I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Super cool of you to be hanging out with us today here on WGR. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is off this week. Nate Geary sitting in for Mike today. Zach Jones on the wheels of steel. And you've come along at a very opportune time. One of our favorites is on the West Her Hotline, lead NFL draft analyst and co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange for the folks at Pro Football Focus. He is Trevor Sikkema at Tampa Bay Trey on the old social media machine. Trevor, it's Chris and Nate here in Buffalo. Good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys. Appreciate you having me back on the show.
Excellent. We're glad that you made the time. It's bittersweet time still for Bills fans, having to reload and figure out a way to still climb Mount Mahomes / Reed, but you know, we're used to it. We find a way to get it done. I wanted to maybe start with you, Trevor, on just like an overview of this draft class in particular. I'm seeing and reading and hearing a lot about how the high end, there's not that many maybe elite top guys, first round grade guys, but 15 to 20, well into the second round, it sort of levels off, and there's comparable players from, say, 20 to 60 in this draft. Is that accurate? And then do you share that opinion?
Yeah, that's how I see it. I think the impact of this draft is going to be less about the guys at the top, and that's not to take anything away from Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter or Mason Graham or Tetrone McMillan, these guys who I do think are going to get picked in the top 10. I think they're going to be great pros as well. That's why they're going to be picked so high. But I think when we look back on the 2025 NFL draft, it's going to be a lot of players that sort of make up the core of the league around all 32 teams. And that's because I think you're going to get guys who have decently high floors or at the very worst are rotational contributors anywhere from pick 25 to sort of, like you said, like pick 60 or 70. There's just a lot of guys that, in my opinion, are going to be future NFL players for a long time. And so, you know, it's funny. A lot of people say, oh, you know, because it doesn't have the blue chippers at the top, that means it's a bad draft class. Sometimes you get draft classes where, hey, you might have 10 to 15 excellent players, and then it's a massive drop-off after that. But I think it's a lot more fun when you get these players who I think are going to help shape the league for the next 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons, depending on how long they are there. So to me, it's a draft where there's a lot of value in having day two picks, in my opinion. And I wonder if you're going to see some teams maneuver down the first round order or outside of the first round completely to trade and try to stockpile some of those day two picks.
Trev, first of all, great to talk to you again, man. Hope all is well. I wanted to actually kind of go back before we start talking about this 2025 draft. And one of the things Bulldog and I were kind of laughing about is, like, every show we should just all sigh for like 5 seconds and kind of lament about how the Kyrie Elam pick has really put the Bills in kind of a conundrum, because it's a position of need now, cornerback two, and it's just very obvious that they're not really willing to put him in on the field, and he hasn't earned that right. Like, when you kind of go back to that draft, if it's 22, the 2022 draft, and you think about that Bills move up, right? I mean, they move up to get Elam because they missed out on McDuffie. Like, how in this kind, and especially with this draft in 2025, like, the Bills, I think, decided they were good with a mostly man corner in college football because they thought that they could teach him kind of more of those zone concepts and principles, and it just never materialized. Like, how do you, if you're putting your GM hat on, how do you avoid making that same mistake again? Because I think the Bills right now and people across the league look at him and say, their last couple of first-round picks haven't materialized, and it's maybe why they're in the position that they're in now, which, again, I want to note that they were in the AFC Championship game. They are not in some sort of, you know, right, tight spot, but, like, at the same time, I don't know that they can afford another miss like they had with Kyrie Elam.
No, look, you're bringing up a lot of really good points that are a lot of things that are certainly worth talking about. And, you know, just to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek of what's coming down the line for PFF, what we're starting to do this year, but more importantly, moving forward in how we come up with big boards and rankings, is we want to be a lot more team-centric about what we do. So on top of having, say, a top 300, 400 overall big board, we're also going to be producing team-centric big boards on what we do, and that's going to go into sort of what you were saying here, those scheme fits for certain players. And, you know, you look at a guy like Kyrie Elam, who is primarily a man coverage type of a corner. When he was in college at Florida, I'm a Gator grad, so I watched every single snap that he ever played. And, you know, it's sometimes tough, right? Because you believe you've got a great coaching staff, right? And part of having a great organization is marrying what the scouts see and the evaluation of a player versus sort of what they may have been taught at the college level, what they were asked to do at the college level, and wondering how much more is in the tank for them outside of what we have seen. The tricky part is, and this is something that happened with Vernon Hargraves as well, similarly from the University of Florida, and I watched this very closely as he got drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you get a guy who plays a lot of press man coverage in college, a lot of times you're looking at college coaches who are just saying, we have a long athletic corner who we are going to simply just say, cover this wide receiver. That is your job. Do not let them catch the football. Whereas if you are more of a zone heavy scheme, when you get to, say, the NFL specifically, you have to do a lot of things at a different level. You have to manage spacing. You have to manage spacing for the wide receiver. You have to be able to bait throws. You have to be able to anticipate incredibly well, pass routes off to different coverage players. Like, there is so much more processing that is needed when you go from being a man coverage corner to a zone corner. And I think it was just, unfortunately, sort of a failed experiment there. And, you know, I don't want to be too hard on Buffalo for that. Obviously, missing out on Trent McDuffie hurts, right? Because that's probably the player they want. And instead they trade up and they go, well, Trent's off the board. We might as well go get our next, you know, highest rated corner. And it's Kyrie Elam. But you scroll a little bit further down, it was sort of like the second Trent McDuffie got picked, they were kind of screwed after that.
Yeah.
Because you look at the defensive backs that get picked after him. Dax Hill, Lewis Cine has been more of a safety, but still not a great story in the NFL. Roger McCreary, Andrew Booth. Like, those are the guys who are picked around that area of where you would have considered somebody else other than Kyrie Elam, and none of those guys have worked out. And unfortunately, when you go back to how Elam played, I agree with you completely. Elam told you basically everything that you need to know, because in this past playoff performance, I should say, because he's been in the league a while now. He got drafted in the 2022 draft class. He looked like he had no confidence still when he went out there in the playoff game. And if you don't have confidence at this point in time, I mean, to be honest with you, just move on. Do a fresh start for both parties.
Yeah.
Let him go play somewhere else. Buffalo, don't depend on him anymore. Just go get somebody else and let somebody else be in the depth chart and potentially in the starting spot. Because what we saw from him in the playoffs 3 years into his NFL career, that's not something that you could depend on moving forward.
Trevor, quick sidebar. Not that you need more evidence of the impact Pro Football Focus has had on shows like ours, but you said that bit about more team-centric content at Pro Football Focus, and like all three of us exchanged a glance and like a knowing now, like I'm going to read the crap out of that. I can't wait for that. On the Bills, not that you've done the work, and I don't want you to give it away yet, but like, what do you see as their needs, and are you at a point where you might even have like scheme fits or ideas, or is it more just general positional needs at this point? Whatever avenue you want to go down here is fine by me.
Yeah, so right now it's more of general sort of positions, but we're in the process of really, I don't want to say segmenting, more like contextualizing a lot of those guys that are in this position. Like, for example, you know, everybody talks about, okay, well, the Bills need an interior defensive lineman. Well, do they need just any type of interior defensive lineman, right? They don't need a Kalijah Kansi. They don't need a Braden Fisk, and yet they play the same position as somebody who is more of like a nose tackle, a run stuffer, or something like that. So we're trying to contextualize those a little bit more. We're trying to get more into the weeds of saying, okay, yeah, here's interior defensive linemen, and we can group them all together. But within that, there's three different subcategories. There's nose tackles. There's one gap penetrating, three technique defensive tackles, and then there's 3-4 defensive ends. To me, those are the subcategories of interior defensive linemen that you work with. And so when I think of Buffalo, I think of a team that's really looking for that run-stuffing presence, somebody that's very strong in the middle for them, can free up Ed Oliver, can free up Greg Rousseau to really roam around the defensive line. So you look at guys like a Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, a Kenneth Grant from Michigan, a Darius Alexander from Toledo, a Tyleek Williams from Ohio State, maybe an Alfred Collins or a Josh Farmer from Florida State, Jordan Phillips maybe a little bit later when you get into the third round is potentially a third-round option for them as that run-stuffing rock presence as a nose tackle. And then I think corner, of course, is another big need, like we just talked about with Elam. And so you look at some of the guys that are more of those off-coverage types of corners. If they had a chance to draft Bede Barron, the corner from Texas, they'd love to do it, but he's not going to make it to them at the end of the first round. He's too talented. Will Johnson from Michigan is also somebody who plays in that same sort of a scheme. I think.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Travis Hunter is great at it, but we know Travis Hunter is going to get picked within the top three. So those are a couple of the corners that kind of come to my mind. Outside of those top three, it gets a lot of man-specific, I think, with some of these guys, like Trey Amos from Ole Miss. He's a press man corner. Siobhan Revelle, I think, can be versatile, but he's good as a press man corner as well. Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame, if his hip checks out. Then you get to guys like Darian Porter from Iowa State, who's got that big, long frame to him, like a Zion McCollum or a Tariq Woolen that we've seen, very similar build. You get a couple of guys a little bit further, Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky, Azaria Thomas from Florida State. These are guys that can play that man coverage thing. So, unfortunately, for Buffalo, it might be a little bit of a waiting game if they don't get the exact corner that they want in the first round. It almost feels like the sweet spot for them at the back end of the first round is going to be along the defensive line. And then you can allow yourself to get a more scheme-specific and team-friendly cornerback a little bit later or somewhere on day two.
Let me ask you, Trev, about – and let me preface this by saying the Bills and Sean McDermott's defenses have predominantly employed like one-gap players on their defensive line, specifically in the middle. And I think that term, one-gap versus two-gap players, gets thrown around a lot. And I do wonder if – the move for the Bills, especially at their one tech, which is, I think that's the, to be clear, like that's the position I think the Bills have been missing. They tried to address it with Starlo Tulele and it didn't really work. And then they ended up moving on. They've never really replaced that type of player. He's probably as close to a two gap player as this defense has had since Sean McDermott has been here. Is that to you the type of player? Because I think people just view defensive tackle as defensive tackle. But the difference between, I think they're okay at three tech. I think, you know, they got Dwayne Carter kind of behind Ed Oliver there. I think that's a player that they'd like. He's definitely more of the three technique, mm-hmm. you know, sort of
get up the field type.
Right.
Guy,
and right. and that's, yeah. they like those penetrators, but they do, I at least I think, and I'll have you kind of answer it though, is like, is what they really need a two gap big one tech? And how many are those that are available in this draft versus just the defensive tackle kind of, you know, solely?
You know, a lot of times the game of football is a give and take. You know, you kind of have to sacrifice one thing if you want to be a little bit more emphasized than the other. And the way that the Bills approach their defensive line, I don't disagree with how they're setting it up, because in theory, it's great, right? I mean, like, you look at guys like Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epenesa. I know he hasn't exactly had the ceiling that you've wanted, but you look at a player like that and Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones. I'm even looking at some other guys that they've got on the roster. You mentioned Dwayne Carter, you know, Quentin Jefferson, Von Miller, certainly when he's been at his best, you know, Dwayne Smooth. They've got these guys that can basically win from a variety of different alignments. So they want to remain incredibly versatile, where one play, Greg Rousseau might be lined up as a five technique defensive end, and the next play he's lined up as a one technique defensive tackle, and Ed Oliver can kind of do the same thing from the outside in. And so you set up this four-man defensive front, and you basically say, we've got four one-gap players who we can align at basically any of these four spots, and we're going to demand that the offensive line is on their P's and Q's and can block any of these guys at any time, because we could be telling one of them or all of them to pin their ears back and get after the quarterback basically on a snap-to-snap basis. That sounds great, right? In theory, that's what everybody wants. You want these guys who can attack from all different spots, and you never know where the biggest area of threat is coming from if you're the defensive line. However, the give and take of that is, okay, you've got great versatility and anybody can be a pass rusher at any time, but then you see the takeaway of what we saw this past year, where now you're lacking an anchor. Now you're lacking, okay, well, when we've got to hold the line of scrimmage, being able to have somebody that you can have a lot of faith in that can be able to do that. So that, to me, is still what they are missing. And again, I can understand why they've set it up the way they have, but it feels like they need at least one of those guys where they say, nope, we're putting this guy as a shade nose right in front of the center. We're making sure that he's going to be able to hold either both A gaps or the A and the B gap, whatever it is, and then we're going to let the flexibility kind of go from there. I do still think they're missing that cornerstone piece.
Lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, Trevor Sikkema, our guest here on the Western Hotline for a couple of more minutes here. How about the edge class, Trevor? We've covered kind of pretty thoroughly, thanks to you, the defensive tackles, and I agree, like the big guy, the space eater is something I'm very interested in. But how about the edge? Because, you know, if it falls right, the Bills certainly aren't lacking for a need there either, it seems.
Yeah, you know, it kind of depends on what route they want to go, right? Do they want a little bit more of the same? Do they want to change things up a little bit? Because, for example, you know, like if they want a little bit more of the same and they want somebody who can, yeah, he can play five technique for you one play, or he can kick inside to three technique for you another, I think Nick Scorton from Texas A&M makes a ton of sense. I love this tape at Purdue, not this past season, but the one before. And then, you know, Texas A&M, he was a little bit disappointing transferring over there this past season, but he's still a really good player. He's got a deep passer's bag. I just think he was playing with a little too much weight this season. So if he slims down a little bit, I think you'll see that he is continuing to be a really good pass rusher. Landon Jackson is somebody that I think is definitely their type as well, built not quite as alien-like as a Greg Rousseau, but along that same mold of this big, long, tall, strong defensive player who could play as a three technique, who could play as a five technique for you, even play as a stand-up outside linebacker because he's got an intriguing amount of bend to him. You get a little bit further, I think either of the Ohio State boys, Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, that is all sort of the same, you know, mold that they have drafted before if they want a little bit more of that. Or you can get into a little bit more specialized players if you want to. Like, you know, if you want a little bit more of a stand-up edge rusher who's more of a pass rusher for you, Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College, a little bit lighter. You know, Prince Lumon Mielin, who I feel like is maybe one of the best designated pass rushers that we have in this class. Very high passers win percentage. Might have the best burst and bend combo of anybody, but he just didn't really seem like a three-down player for you. There's some reps that he's a little bit more lackadaisical than you would want, but then you get a little bit further down. I think Elijah Roberts from SMU is somebody who's about 6'5", 290 pounds. He has that inside-out flexibility and versatility. So it really just depends on what the Buffalo Bills want. If they want to change things up a little bit, or if they want more of sort of the same of, we want to draft defensive linemen that can basically play any of our four down line spots at any point in time. I think, you know, answering that question, we'll be able to answer a little bit more about who they would target.
Lastly, I want to ask you about the safety class. It turns out we're not going to have any time for offense during this visit because we've been so thorough on the defensive side of the ball. The Bills certainly have needs there. For me, Nick Emmanuori from South Carolina is a very intriguing prospect. I'd love to know what you think about him, and certainly the top-ranked safety probably, I think, is Malachi Starks, at least most of the lists I'm looking at. Your thoughts on either player, and if there's someone else that should be mentioned here?
Yeah, so, you know, when I think about the Buffalo Bills specifically, if they're going to continue to be a high zone coverage, quarters coverage type of a team where you got two safeties back there a lot, Emmanuori is more of somebody who, just a physical freak. I mean, like, the dude's quite the specimen, but he to me is more of that, like, box safety hybrid linebacker type of a player. Mm-hmm. So if you're playing a lot more cover one and you were allowing that other safety to really roam around the second level as, like, a pseudo linebacker, then I think teams would be interested in him that are running a lot more single high cover one or cover three stuff. But if the Bills are going to remain a two high safety team, Malachi Starks obviously makes a ton of sense with how talented he is. And Xavier Watts does as well. The safety from Notre Dame has had so much ball production over the last 2 years. And then the other guy I'll shout out is Leighton Ransom from Ohio State, somebody who is very productive this season. I mean, he was basically all over the field. He played free safety for him. He played strong safety for him. He's very familiar with that too high safety setup. Those are three that I would probably consider the most for a team like Buffalo. And, you know, I'll throw Andrew Makuba in there as well, the safety from Texas. He had a standout freshman season when he was at Clemson 4 years ago. And then he got hurt. And then the year after that, he didn't feel like himself. You know, the scheme wasn't really conducive to what he really wanted to do well. Texas puts him in a situation where it's sort of this too high responsibility, but they're allowing him to play a lot more free. He played so fast. He's a little bit lighter of a safety, but He is somebody, I think, who could make sense for Buffalo as well. So, again, it just kind of depends on how much they want to more lean into that too high safety shell. If they do, those are the guys that I would go for. But if they want to get a little more aggressive, if they think they have somebody who could play that center fielder role, then you get into somebody like, you know, a Nicky Manwari, a Jonas Sanker from Virginia, you know, players like that.
Anything we need to know about where we can find what it is you are doing here as we are ramping into the draft season, or is just saying you're with PFF good enough?
No, PFF obviously is where you find a lot of my stuff, but also anybody out there who wants a draft podcast or YouTube channel, the NFL Stock Exchange podcast that I do with Connor Rogers. We're talking NFL draft at least two times a week, sometimes more, getting into the weeds of exactly who these players are, what they bring to the table, and whether or not they fit your NFL team.
All right, Trevor, thank you very much for this. Always a great job. Love the time, and thank you for making it for us.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Trevor Sikkema, lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, and you heard him mention there the NFL Stock Exchange podcast with our buddy Connor Rogers, who it's been a while. We'll definitely touch base with him soon, I'm sure, as we are ramping into draft coverage ourselves here at WGR. All right, so any reaction to that? We'll pour over some of what Trevor had to say as we continue along here. Lines are open at 803-0550 if you would like to join us. Really, they're open for the balance of the show from here to the finish line, so feel free to hop in with any comments and questions you have about this offseason for your Buffalo Bills. 803-0550 again is the number. Nate Geary is in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.